Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we're on episode 200 now of the Slow Living Podcast, which is kind of amazing. It's a pretty big milestone. I have been in your earbuds for 200 weeks in a row. So deep breath in, deep breath out. That is a lot. Email me. Let me know which episodes resonate with you, what you'd like to hear more of, what you don't want to hear more of. I love hearing from you. Also, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to log into Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Fresh reviews help trip the algorithm and we get new people. And my hope is at some point we get a sponsor for the podcast because this is 200 weeks in a row and it would be fun to eventually make a little bit of money from this. So let me know if you have any thoughts of that or if you happen to have a small business of your own that you would like to advertise. Hit me up. I'm a real person. I'll write you back, steph@stephanieoday.com. But now we're moving into the second part of session two with Kelsey. If you haven't listened to the first parts and you're new here, it might be helpful and useful for you to go back and listen to those past few episodes to get to know her and what she's grappling with. This is a great session. I'm so proud of her for being vulnerable and change is starting to happen. And I think that's something that's interesting is I talk about slow living. So I talk about slow, sustainable change. But sometimes when you are ready and you've done the work to get ready, to get ready, to get ready, it's just like flipping a light switch. And you'll hear how proud and egged on Kelsey is about herself because change is happening and it's happening for her actually kind of quickly. And that is remarkable and amazing, but also a little bit scary at times. Okay, here's Kelsey. You wrote in your call sheet that you were honest and Ryan, your husband, has taken notice that in a week you've been making some changes. And then also your dad has as well. So what is that like?
So Ryan, he surprised me the other day. He's been kind of hemming and hawing about starting his own business. And that's like, I've been trying to work on the peace pyramid in myself. And I feel like there's a lot of holes there because a lot of it depends on Ryan and his business. So he sees me making all these changes and I'm trying my hardest. And he calls me. Actually, it was after our first meeting and he called me and he's like, how did the meeting go and everything? He goes, I'm going down to Service Ontario to ask about a business license and I'm going to start getting. And I was like, what? Like, that's great. Good for you. So he's starting to really take that seriously. And he's open to making a 3-year plan, which so far he hadn't been open to making. And then I had a conversation with my dad and I was open and honest with him about what I was doing with the slow living and how I had an opportunity to have free coaching. And I told him that I feel like a lot of my issues have to do with my self-worth and that I have low self-worth. And it's sad to see, like, I could see the hurt in his face to know that his daughter has low self-worth. But he asked me, he goes, do you think it'll really help? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, then that's great. And yeah. We don't have emotional conversations. We keep it super funny and super light between us. So that felt really big.
Yeah. Okay. Do you feel like there's something under the surface that you need to talk through with your dad? Or are you able to just get through it without rehashing everything? So some people need to stir everything up in order to clean up, and others don't. And I just wonder where you feel like you might be.
I feel like we're okay. I feel like he's never really been open to talking about the emotions too much. We always did something else together, like quality time, instead of like actually talking it through. I talk through a lot of my emotions with my mom and my stepmom, but he's not really an emotions guy.
Mm-hmm. And yet with Ryan, you can.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. The compassion he shows me, like when I had the cough and I was like, I can't smoke. I don't know what to do. And he sat there and held my hand and he's like, it's going to be okay. And we went to the mall, and I have, with the binge eating and stuff like that, it's a big trigger for me to go out and eat. So I get really stressed out that I'm going to make bad choices. And he just kind of, we went out to buy rollerblades, secondhand rollerblades for the children so that we could all go together. And we ended up staying out for lunch. And I was like, I was almost shaking, uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't know what you can eat because of your gallstones. And I like, what are we going to get the children? And he just held my hand and he said, it's going to be okay. We're in this together. We'll figure it out. It's just lunch. And he was so kind to me. I almost cried. I was so stressed out about it. And he's so compassionate and so kind to me. The unconditional love.
Yeah. Do you feel worthy of Ryan's love?
Yes, absolutely.
That's nice. Okay. I'm glad. So people worry sometimes that when they don't have a lot of friends or a lot of people in their lives, that they're lacking in some way. And then I always want to just point out that having one person, that sort of ESP, so your emotional support person, who you can be fully yourself all of the time around, really is what's most beneficial and what humans are searching for. And it sounds like you have that.
I do. Yes.
Okay. So coming up with this next week, if we don't make huge swooping changes, but maybe a tweak or modify here and there, what would you like to happen?
I would like to stay. I wrote down some July goals. I know, not month, but
that's okay.
So I've been stacking on top of my other goals. So wake up at 5 a.m., 5:15 walk, 10,000 steps a day, take my vitamin, and I put never smoking earlier than 4 p.m. because that's usually when Ryan gets home. And then I wanted to give myself some grace on the weekend for when he was home. 3 water bottles a day, kitchen closes at 8 p.m., and no spending on useless stuff, which I've been doing great with anyway. That's not an over concern for me right now.
Okay. So this all sounds amazing.
Okay.
10,000 steps. How close are we already to that?
Oh, I get it every day. I just wrote it down. It was in there.
Okay.
With my morning walk and then just activities with the children, I get it almost every day.
Okay. And your joints feel okay? Your body feels okay?
My back is sore in the morning, but by the time I've walked and stretched, the rest of the day is fine.
Okay. So if you're getting up at 5 and walking at 5:15, you had alluded earlier to journaling and stretching and looking at your vision board. When does that usually fall?
I get back at 5:45. I have a shower and I do that at 6.
Okay. And are the kids awake?
The kids wake up around 7 lately.
Okay. Okay. So you have a nice juicy amount of time for yourself in the morning.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Will this shift when school starts?
A little bit, yeah. They'll probably be up a little bit earlier than that. But I figured before and when it's colder, I'm not going to want to go at 5:15 in the morning in Canada when it's like negative 30. I don't mind walking after they go to school.
Okay.
Because that's what I was doing before. But then it started to get really, really hot out. And I was like, oh, they're going to be off. And when am I going to walk? And so I moved it because I know Ryan's home in the mornings getting ready. But I can do it after. I can do my journaling and my stretching and then do my walk after they get on the bus starting in September.
Okay. I like that. And the reason I bring it up is right now, again, we're still in this sort of honeymoon phase, but I want you to create habits that feel good and natural. So then later when obstacles come up, they just seem like rocks in the road and not huge barriers. And so pivoting and changing feels natural. And doesn't feel like this all or nothing, like, oh, well, this happened. So now I can't do all of these other things. And then that creates a domino effect. And all of a sudden,
Yeah.
you're back to where you started. I just don't want that for you.
I don't want that for me either.
Okay. You wrote in that your clothes are feeling better.
Yeah, things I like shirts that I haven't worn for a while, I pulled them out and I was like, hot damn, this fits. This is
Okay.
great.
But that couldn't have happened just in 1 week. So that must have happened with different changes you were making
Yeah,
already.
I've definitely been more like stern this week. So with drinking water, I know that I always lose some bloat, and I've really been trying to get that water in. But it has been like 2 months of walking regularly, and it's been about 6 months of eating very clean since Ryan had all of his health stuff. So.
Yeah. How are you celebrating these wins? How are you rewarding yourself?
I'm not, because usually it's with food. Like, I'm
Okay.
always turning to food when it's a win. And now I just kind of pop it in my Fitbit. I see, oh, that's this much lost. And I just kind of woohoo to myself and I woohoo at Ryan and then I carry on.
Okay. If you were to give advice to someone else on how they should celebrate a win without food, what would you suggest?
I guess if they can afford it, like maybe buy something. I don't know. I used to have, when I was on Weight Watchers, I had like a thing that get yourself a book, or when you hit this many pounds, you can get a new pair of shoes or a new workout outfit or something like that. But I have all that I need when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, and spending money on that stuff, it's not helping us for retirement, and I already have enough.
Would going somewhere, like hiking in a different area or finding a body of water or just putting something on the calendar, like we're going to go do this on a certain date, a special meal, even, yes, it's food, but if it only happens once a month or something like that, would you be open to that?
Yeah, I want to celebrate myself. I was so scared because every time I celebrated myself before, it was pizza or it was hamburgers or something bad for me, right? S food is so close to celebration. Everything is it I wish it's tricky because you got to keep eating. You can't just quit, right? You've got to continue to eat. You just got to find a balance and
Do you think it's possible to eat pizza and burgers and still feel healthy?
yes, I don't trust myself on the portions. I let Ryan handle that. But otherwise, yeah, we do eat burgers and pizza. I'm making pizza for dinner tonight, but pizza that I've made in my own way.
Does that feel lesser?
No, they're freaking delicious.
Okay. Yeah. You've done a lot of work, Kelsey.
Yeah, I feel like I'm cheating. I don't know why. It feels like it wasn't. I think the only thing that really sucked was writing the burden list. That felt like hard work. I did not enjoy that.
Okay, so talk to me about that. Is that listed in here? Is that in the folder?
That was I wrote it personally.
Okay.
I didn't upload that because I hated the way it made me feel and I hated looking at it, and I wrote it down and I haven't looked at it since. So, would you
Okay.
like to hear those reasons or?
If you don't want to read them, you don't have to, but if you can paraphrase. So what was the assignment and what just the gist?
Okay, so it was to write in my journal, I am such a burden because, and
Okay, and this is because you have a history of one, beating yourself up in your brain, and two, thinking that you're not worthy of unconditional love.
Right, exactly. I think one of the ones that I don't mind sharing at all is that I almost feel like a burden to you. Because
Why?
Because you're helping me for free. You're taking your time out, and like I can't figure this out myself, and I need this help, and I don't know, like it just feels, yeah, it feels
Yeah.
like, you know.
Okay. So I'm gonna relieve you of that, because I'm a grown up and I wouldn't have offered unless I was genuine.
Yes.
Wait, do you agree?
Well, I try and tell myself it's mutually beneficial, but I don't know. I guess I kind of have a hard time with accepting other people's acceptance that I'm not a burden.
Okay. When you help someone, if someone needs help, do you help them or do you think, oh, I'm going to help them and then in 3 months I'm going to cash in on this?
I always help. I never expect anything in return.
Why do you think others don't have that same thought process that you have? If you assume other people will give you the benefit of the doubt, why do you think other people are transactional in their interactions with you?
I think it's because of my sister.
Oh.
Like anytime that I helped her with anything, or if she helped me once, oh my gosh, I had to give so much in return. It was
Okay.
always transactional.
Okay. So she is the complete, utter opposite of an emotional support person for you.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Did you write about her this week?
No, I don't give her as much thought. I'm seeing that she does pop up in like why I feel the way I do, but I don't give her much thought anymore. I really don't. I went through such a phase of being upset about all of it, and then I accepted and realized that she had to live in her own pain, and then I felt sad for her, and now I feel just indifferent, like I feel meh about it, so.
The first time you talked, you likened her to a porcupine.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
How often do you need to interact with her?
Birthday season is coming up a little bit. We just passed one. All of the children's birthdays are in March and April, so we have to see each other a lot during then. But then her birthday and my dad's birthday are in August, so I'll
Okay.
have to see her twice again over that.
You see her on her own birthday?
I do, and I have to give her a present.
Because those are just the rules, or
Yeah, I don't, I stopped giving her Christmas presents because I pay for the presents for her children and I focus on her children, and it feels awkward not to give her something on her birthday. I kind of just let my kids pick it out and do it that way, so.
okay, August. Have you role played or daydreamed about how these parties should look or could look with the new improved Kelsey?
I have not. That would I have not. I think about how they're gonna go. I hadn't thought about how it would go now that I've changed, though. Like sometimes I think, oh man, she's gonna look at me and be like, look at you, like, I've lost some weight, I'm like glowing, I'm feeling better. But like I hadn't thought about like the all of the mental work side of it. And but we don't get deep. I gray rock her hard. I don't give her any information because she turns it against me and uses it against me, so I don't share with her. I would never open up to her about any of this.
Yeah. So if someone that you don't want to share information with, so if I was your sister and I said, wow, Kelsey, what's going on? You look great. Would she even say those words or would she say, what's been going on? Like, how does she interact with you? Do you think everything she says is barbed?
Yeah, because there'll be comments like, she'll say something about like, oh, we bought a bit too big of a cake, but don't worry, Kelsey's coming over, she'll help finish it. Or like,
Wait, too big of a cake?
yeah, like if we had a party with a cake, oh, don't worry, Kelsey'll finish it up. Or she's made comments about stuff like that in the
And
past.
you can hear her say that.
Yep, she says it
Okay.
out in the open. Yep.
And if you say, I'm right here, and that hurts my feelings.
I'm pretty sure she'd laugh.
Would you feel better that you, though, used those words? I am here. And you that hurts my feelings. I am here. Like that's a very dismissive, as if you're not even in the room comment.
Yeah, that's pretty much how she communicates now, because I've distanced myself from her so much. She just makes broad comments in the room, and sometimes I'm involved in them, sometimes I'm not, but it's never communication right at me. She would never talk straight to my face. I'm kind to her. I would say hello, you know, how you doing, and blah blah blah, but I never make it deeper. She doesn't even bother trying to engage with me anymore.
Okay. All right. Listening to you speak and then hearing what I just said, I think removing yourself is probably better. So it's more like, I can hear you. That's not kind. So like two facts, no feelings, just facts. The fact is you can hear her, you are in the room, and that's not kind. And then maybe just walking away. Or something, and then going and centering yourself. That's really not cool, though, Kelsey. Like, that's not cool. And other people in the room should stick up for you because that's obnoxious.
Yeah, my stepmom's hard of hearing, so I don't think she hears a lot of it. To be fair, I'll give her the pass on it. My dad just doesn't want the conflict, and my husband is seething inside. There's been times where he's like, I want to speak up. Why can't I say something to her? And I was like, you don't want to fight with her. Trust me. You'll never win. It always is going to turn around, and somehow it's your fault.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to say to her, like, oh, you said that. Do you know you said that out loud? Did you mean to say that out loud?
Oh, because everyone heard that. So let's do that. Let's do that. That's very powerful.
I would love to say that to her. Oh, my goodness.
I think you can.
Next time, I will do it.
So here's the thing. You have a really shitty, don't say bad words, relationship with her right now.
Right.
And she's walking all over you and making you feel, in your own words, worthless.
Yep.
No one deserves to feel that way. Especially not you, around your own family. And so you just asking that question, wow, did you mean to say that out loud? And having her slow her roll and check herself and listen to her words. You're right. She might come back with an even harsher thing to say. So maybe brainstorming on that a little bit. So I like the gray rocking, except the gray rocking doesn't work if you're consistently being spoken at and to. So it works really well with the pleasantries, as you said, like, hi, how are you? And then just moving through. But she's looking for a fight with those words.
Yeah. She wants to hurt me. Like, I can tell. She wants, I think that she's... pardon me. I think that, like, she is very aware that I've distanced myself. And she must know it's her actions, but I think she just wants to still get those jabs at me. And honestly, like, at the end of the day, I'm just sad for her that she has to live in a headspace like that. And she's so let down by everyone with her expectations. And, you know, if you have expectations for people, you're going to be let down. I learned that in therapy. You just have to let go of your expectations for people and experiences. That's one I've tried to, like, any experience. You let go of all your expectations and you just live your life. And you will live with so much more peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's sort of, it's funny. What it brings you back to, like, second grade of, like, sticks and stones can break my bones. But that is very tricky for you when you hear these words being hurled at you or around you for your benefit that you can hear. That's really not kind, Kelsey.
She's not a very kind person, and I've accepted that.
Okay. So moving into these birthday months, what are some strategies that you think you can do to set yourself up a little, to sort of brace yourself and then also to help comfort yourself afterwards?
Well, I think knowing that I have that in my sleeve of, did you mean to say that out loud, is going to be good. I like that. and knowing that that is available to me. And then I always, we kind of have like a debrief after, Ryan and I, and we're like, wow, she said that, like, yee. And we talk it through a lot. I don't love those comments in front of my children now that I think about it. And you're saying like the family around you, and like, those are really negative comments to say in front of her children too. Like, what must her children think of me in those comments?
Yeah. Okay. I do like the idea of when you know a situation is going to happen and you can't get out of it. I mean the easiest thing to do would be go no contact and just refuse to be in the same room. So there's that. But in real life, it's not black and white, and there's lots of different nuances to family relationships. But I want you to proactively protect yourself first, and screw anyone else in the room who might think, wow, that was harsh, Kelsey, or whatever. You have earned this right to stick up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're not going to reward that behavior. So, and rewarding it means ignoring in this situation.
I thought, okay.
Because you're right. Because it's not healthy for children to hear this. I'm not asking you to have a fight. I'm just asking you to put a hand up to, and then dismiss yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it.
I want to stand up for myself. It's just every time I did in the past, it just like, that's when her anger explodes and it's like, holy crap, it's happening.
Okay.
And he is not afraid to get noisy. So,
okay. So I'm not there. I'm glad that you've spoken to your therapist about it. I have not, I don't want to lead you astray in any way. So I want you to only do things that feel correct for you, but I do want you to journal out and kind of map out, if I say this, this might happen. And if this happens, how will I react? What will I do? Where's my safe spot? Where can I retreat? How can I help myself after the fact? And then before the fact, it's just sometimes when you're saying things out loud like that, did you mean to say that? What happens is hopefully it catches the person off guard enough that then they think twice. And that's the hope. That's the hope. But you're right. I don't know. Because I'm not there.
I wish you could be. It's a party sometimes.
Do you self-medicate before you go into those environments?
No, I don't like to be, if you're talking about like cannabis or stuff, I don't like to be, I like to be level-headed, especially when I'm like taking care of my kids and like being, cause they have a pool. So I'm like hyper aware, making sure they don't fall in. And
okay.
She definitely does. She's pretty high almost all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you know that you cannot reason with someone under the influence.
No. And in her in general, you can't reason with her. And I've accepted that.
Yeah. Family's messy.
Yeah. I used to think it was all black and white, but everything is gray. Everything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's funny. I joked with you last week that we were chatting today on 4th of July and it was a holiday. And then you said, well, I'm Canadian. So that part is good. Are there any things coming up in the next few weeks that you're looking forward to?
I'm having some friends over for dinner tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah.
That is wonderful. What are you going to do?
I don't know yet. I haven't planned it. They are coming over at 3 and they have a young daughter the same age as Theo. So they play together and we pretend Minecraft and we have a lot of fun. And we get to play in the black backyard. We just got a slip and slide. So that'll be a lot of fun.
That will be a lot of fun. Good. I'm glad. When you think of the week to come, is there anything that you're worried about?
I feel pretty confident with continuing with what I'm doing. I still feel the nerves inside of smoking less cannabis, but like I did it this week and I survived because of my cough, so why can't I do it next week?
Okay. As far as having a time frame, like I'm not going to do this until 4, what does that feel like?
It felt yucky at like 3:30. Usually I don't have those feelings, but since I set the timer at 3:30, I was like, is it almost time yet? Like, I'm thinking about it now that there is a set timer, so definitely some yucky feelings.
Okay, and how do you work through those feelings?
I wrote a list. You told me to write a list of when I'm feeling this, I can. So when I'm feeling overwhelmed and I want to smoke, I could, and I put deep breathing, put in the beats, read a book, look at my plants, hug Ryan, clean something. When I'm feeling angry, I can scream in a pillow, shake my whole body, go get some water, go outside, walk around the island. And when I'm feeling sad and I want to smoke, I could do my stitching, lay in bed, pet the dog, go outside and just breathe.
That all sounds great. That all sounds great. Showering helps also, because that's such a long thing to do.
Oh, I'm such a quick shower. I never.
Oh,
It's business time. If, oh
okay.
man, if Theo's awake, I can't not be around. So he's a bandit.
Okay. All right. Do you have any questions or anything that you want to make sure we touch upon before we log off today?
Think so. Oh, well, I had some feelings about like, so I don't remember if I brought it up last time, but like, I read that book about it's called Brain Over Binge, and it was about the feelings like there's this voice in the back of my head that's telling me like, and this is the automatic negative thoughts and the self-negotiation. That's the same voice. And it's this, I think she called it like your caveman voice, and you don't have to act on that voice, but I can't believe like how much it's getting drowned out now, and how much it doesn't have control over me. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. And that's a good thing.
Yes, but like, I'm almost like afraid that it's gonna get power over me again.
Okay. I'm trying to remember that book. Is it a book and it's a brown cover and it has a mouth on it?
I'm not sure. I can't
Oh, okay.
remember.
I've read a few different binge things to help people in the past. But Brain Over Binge, I'll look that one up. And it very well could be in my Kindle. I'm not sure. Okay, so your concern is that it's working.
Isn't that just yeah.
Okay, no, but am I right? Is that what your concern is?
It's working and I'm afraid that it's gonna like I'm just nervous it's gonna come back. It's gonna get stronger. I'm gonna like cave into it again.
Yeah. Okay, so if that happens, if that's your worry, how will you respond?
My old self would just let go of everything and accept it. And my inner voice got the best of me. And I guess I'm giving up on all of this.
Is it possible if reading the book was helpful and doing the exercises were helpful, you could just start reading it again?
Yeah, I've read your book like 3 times now. So I could. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and I started psycho-cybernetics. That's a really interesting thing. Oh my goodness, you were bang on about self-worth and stuff, like and living your successes again. That's a very interesting way to look at things. These books are lovely. There's so
Yeah.
much. I feel like you are like the you've read all of them and then you give me the tidbits I need, which is great.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that they're proving helpful for you. And I also am glad that the binaural beats and turning your brain off sometimes
Yes. Oh, it's
is
so nice.
helpful. Yeah. At some point when you're ready, listening to a fiction book or something fiction, with the idea that there's nothing else to fix in you have the tools, will be beneficial as well.
I do a balance. I do, like, I started, I didn't for a while, especially when we started and I was rereading your book and I was really focusing on the materials, but I just downloaded like a cutie patootie little romance one and I've been listening to
Good.
that too. So,
Good.
yeah.
Fun. Super fun. Okay. All right, Kelsey, I'm going to end this recording, but stay on with me, okay?
Okie doke.
Hi there, Slow Down Society. Okay, that is the end of the second session with Kelsey and the end of episode 200. Thank you for being here. I want to talk a little bit about the binging that Kelsey is discussing, and in binging and addiction are very tricky, and there are things that at times you think you have a handle over them, and then they sort of rear their ugly heads again. Kelsey has been through therapy and has talked to her doctor about this. And when we got off the call, I again brought that up and made sure that she felt supported in all of the ways. And I really do want her and you to reach out to a medical professional if you're struggling with this and it's not something that you feel like you can do on your own or with the help of a coach, but you do need a doctor. The two books that we talked about, I want to drop here in the show notes to make sure that you have them as tools. So the book that she was discussing is by Katherine Hansen, and it's called Brain Over Binge. And then the subtitle is Why I Was Bulimic, Why Conventional Therapy Didn't Work, and How I Recovered for Good. So I have not read that book, but that's the book that Kelsey is currently reading. And then the other book that I have and have read is called Never Binge Again. Reprogram yourself to think like a permanently thin person, stop overeating and binge eating, and live your best life. And that's by Glenn Livingston, PhD. Okay, pretty people. As always, I think you're amazing and wonderful and lovely and kind. You're having a great hair and butt day. I'm proud of you, and I'm proud of you for taking care of yourself. This absolutely counts as self-care. Consider yourself loved and hugged. We'll be back in your earbuds next week for episode 201, which is the first part of session 3 with Kelsey. You take care now. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.